Thank you. course we're at the right airport. Have I ever been wrong about such things as this? Please don't answer that question.
Anywhere.
Well, they'll be here. Just
keep going. Oh, wait! There they are! Oh, there's Lexi and your grandma! Oh, grandma!
It's so warm here. Yeah, we saw the beaches from the plane.
I've never seen so many shades of blue and green before.
Yeah, I can't wait to jump in.
When can we?
Huh?
Well, welcome to Florida, girls. We're so glad y'all came to visit with us this week.
So, Grandpa, what are we going to do first? An amusement park, or how about a fair?
Go where? Do what?
Grandpa, you told us when you called and invited us that we were going to do exciting stuff. This is the Treasure Coast, remember?
It is, and there's a lot to do here, a lot to see here in Florida. And we're going to get to that, but there's a lot of work to get done. Grandma's made us a picnic basket, so we're going to get right at it here in a little bit.
As we came in, I noticed that everything looks so different here than it does at home.
Yeah, even your trees look different.
Oh, you noticed the trees. They're not like your oak trees back home, are they?
See, here's the thing. Here in Florida, we have the palm trees. God has given those palm trees because we have tropical forest hurricane winds. You know what happens to the trees in those winds? They almost bend over double, but they don't break. And when the hurricane's over, they're better than they were before.
That's right, and the reason is their heart is hidden deep within the trunk of the tree. And so it can take a lot of abuse from the wind when it blows. And God has made over 3,000 different palm trees. Doesn't that show a lot of amazing creativity from our God?
Wow, Grandpa, that's radical. I'd sure like to learn more about that. But first, can you explain to me why you called this the Treasure Coast? Is there some story behind that? Does it have to do with treasure?
Well, it kind of does, but that's only one small part of the treasure we want to look at this week as you spend time with us.
Just one part? What else can you tell us?
Oh, wait, we want to tell you about the Indians that used to be here.
And the pirates and buccaneers.
Wait a minute, we want to tell you about the little sand turtles, and we want to tell you about the interesting mangrove trees,
and
the
sharks, and the sand fleas, and the panther.
Sharks? Sand fleas? Panthers?
Why would you do that? They just get off the plane. Why do you want to scare them all the way home? Can't we tell them the good stuff about our Treasure Coast?
All right, I'll behave just a little bit, just for a few more moments, and I'll keep everything in order. But, you know, I'm kind of starved. I think we should take that picnic basket, and as they say here in Florida, let's get to the beach.
Let's go.
Well, that's just a portion of what you're going to see this week here as we begin Vacation Bible School this evening. Now, we'll be gathering everybody back up here at 5 o'clock for work, and then 5:30 we'll have registration. A lot of work and prayer has gone into this, and we're looking for a good week. The buses will be coming by your houses. If you ride the bus, Brother Victor will be coming by the houses at 5 o'clock. Now, don't count him right at 5 if he's not there. Don't say, well, he's not coming. He'll be coming. So I know I'll be matching really well here, but I don't think I can go back and get that white shirt and tie on right now. So y'all just have to laugh a little bit. So we'll be by to pick you up at the bus with the buses and get you here so we can start our Vacation Bible School. Now remember, the bus, the services tonight begin at 6. I know Brother Jim went all over this, and some of you are thinking, well, they're just going to start Vacation Bible School, and that's all they're going to do. No, our first service is our ordinary service with the kids in it. You'll be in it with us. We'll have our normal service. We'll have a song, regular song. We'll, and have opening prayer. And then we'll get into some of the fun stuff, as you see here. But then we'll have a sermon in here. We'll take a short break while the kids go to their places. And if you want to hang around, you can hang around. But if you want to head home, that'll be fine. for you to do so, but you're more than welcome to hang around, and then we'll finish out Vacation Bible School over there, and then in the tomorrow night as well, Tuesday. Wednesday night, church will be in here again at 7:30. At 7:30, be in here normal. We normally have church at 7, so don't stay home and say, well, all they're going to do is have Vacation Bible School all week, and it's for kids, and I'm too cool for Sunday school. Come on back and be here Wednesday for our normal 7:30 service. Brother Jim will be in here. We'll have our normal prayer song time. We'll have some prayer requests, and then we'll have prayer. And then the kids will join us, and we'll finish out the last day in here. It's a five-day Vacation Bible School, but we cram it into four. That's how good we are here at Lock Haven. So, all you visitors, thank you for being with us. We're not normally this colorful, but we are today because our kids are important to us, and they are part of the church. They're not just things and ornaments. They're actually part of our church, and this is important to them. And so come back and enjoy it, support it, and be in your place. Now, we're going to be in Genesis chapter number 55 this morning. Psalms 55. You see, you get out of your normal everyday routine with your white shirt and your tie, and you put on this, and you can't even think proper. Psalms 55. Remember, we started in our summer this summer series, hitting and missing and ferreting through the book of Psalms. So we've had a couple of sermons already every Sunday morning going through the book of Psalms, and we're going to continue that thought until Labor Day. And we'll go all the way through August, hitting and missing different areas. Not chapter by chapter, verse by verse, but just simply grabbing a hold of some biblical nuggets in the book of Psalms and trying to help them help us get through the lull of summer. I'm telling you, boy, when Memorial Day hits, summer takes off here at Lock Haven, and we have people traveling everywhere, back and forth, to and fro. But as soon as Labor Day comes around, they're all back in their place, and we get ready for our fall. So we just kind of go to a different gear in our summertime, and we'll still allow God to be God and Lord to be Lord of our lives and serve God through the summer. But it sometimes gets a little bit of slowness, and we get a little dreary, you know, feeling. And so we try to find something, try to change the gears, and the book of Psalms is what comes to my heart this year. And so Psalms chapter 55 and verse number 22. Just one verse today, and then we'll get right into it. Psalms chapter number 55 and verse number 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Now that is a wonderful verse. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee, and he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Has anybody here ever did any cast fishing with a cast net? Anybody done that? I mean, it takes a little bit of effort, don't it? You get a 25-foot cast net, 25-foot diameter, and I'm telling you, to cast that thing out there, it takes a little effort. Well, this has the same notion here. Cast thy burden. So it takes the same, no, you know, strength. It takes a little bit, because I'm telling you something, burdens are heavy. Burdens kind of weigh us down. So many times, you know, if you're not careful, you know, fooling around with your cast net, especially if you're on a boat, if you're not careful, you get your feet all tangled up in that cast net. And when you go to toss it out there, it kind of gets hung up. And if you're not careful, you'll lose your balance and you fall off into the water. Now, a lot of folks use cast nets on the bank and to the shore. They cast it out there so they can catch smaller fish to bring it in so they can then, in turn, go back and catch bigger fish. So it doesn't matter whichever way you use it. Here's the thing about casting. It takes some effort, and casting is not right here. Casting is out there. Casting is sometimes far away from us. So when you think about this verse, keep that in mind. It's got to cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he says, he shall sustain thee. That means he'll uphold you. He'll hold you up. He'll keep you from when you get that cast net tangled around your feet, you go to cast it, and you lose your balance. He's going to sit you back up on that solid rock. He's going to sustain you. He's going to be the one that does it. He's going to keep you upright, and he's sustaining you. And then another word that caught my mind there was in the latter part of it. It says, he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. That means he will not allow. Suffer means to allow. He will not allow you to be moved. Why? Because you're his trophy. You're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And so you're a testimony for him. And so when we live and we walk and we do our daily business, we are a representative of Christ. And so if we're his representative, he wants to present us in our best. You know, Jesus is going to present the church as a spotless virgin. So he wants us to be our best. He wants us to look our best. He wants us to act our best. He also tells us in the New Testament that we are ambassadors. We're an ambassador of Christ. And so if you're an ambassador, you usually look your best. That's why when I come out here, I normally have my white shirt, my tie on, and my jacket, because I want to look my best up here, because I am an ambassador. I'm the under-shepherd of Christ. And so that's what it is, you know. And so we do that. We want to represent Christ well. Now, I will tell you, every one of us are familiar with burdens. If anybody here has never carried a burden, please stand. Because I got about 4, 5, 6 that I might can loan you for about a week. Why would you do that, Pastor? Because the Bible says that we're to carry and bear one another's burdens. So since you ain't got none of your own, I think I'll offload some on you, and you just carry mine around for a little bit, and you know, give me a little bit of help down the way there, and so you'll understand what it is. But not nobody stood up, because we're very familiar with burdens. I mean, there's physical burdens, financial burdens, there's emotional burdens, there's family, where you have troubles within and without. Paul said, I'm perplexed on every side. We have burdens, real burdens. And, you know, we carry these around, and we're there. And so we're familiar with burdens, and we know what they are. Now, the psalmist knew what they were, and he says, this is what I'm going to do with my burden. I'm going to cast my burden upon the Lord. And that's a wonderful thing. How many of you ever got an invitation to something that you felt was very, very important? You know, anybody, you got an invitation to something you felt very important? What do you think? Well, Sister Debbie, can you share that with us if you don't mind?
Just a son's wedding.
You got an invitation to your son's wedding. That's a pretty important thing, to be invited to a wedding. So many of you know, last week I got invited by the Ninth Circuit of Court to appear for jury duty. Yeah. And not only was I invited, if I didn't show up, I could have been held in contempt of court. And then when I got down there, they not only invited me, they chose me to sit at the table. So I got to stay a little while, get to spend some time, get to know the judge, got to talk to the judge. They said it was a good thing. The judge asked all of us jurors when we finished, he said, if you would please, here's an invitation. If you would please, would you mind waiting for me until I discharge everybody else? I would like to spend some time with the jury. That was pretty good. I could have left. He didn't say, you know what, at the end of the case, when we get our verdict, he said, okay, at the end of it, he said, you have completed your jury duty. I was released. Could have left. But he gave an invitation for me. I thought it was pretty neat. I enjoyed it. I wanted to hang around and got to talk with him a little bit, you know. It's kind of intimidating there in the courtroom. You know, you're there and he's there. And then something dawned on to me is this, is really in a court system, is that the real and true boss, or the real authority, is justice. And the judge is only the steward of the process. Kind of what it, you just sitting there, I'll tell you, whenever they take a break, every third question, and they're going up there and they put static in the air, and you can't hear nothing going on. You've got a lot of time to think. And I'm telling you, dear friend, if you think it's hard sitting on these pews, whoa, they got some hard pews in the court system. They really do. And so I got an invitation to spend some time with him. Some of you may have gotten other invitations to spend time. I got an invitation from my son not too long ago to come. His commander told him, if your dad and mom will come up here, we'll let them stand in formation and they can pin the sergeant stripes on you. That was a good invitation. So we get you an invitation. I'll tell you something, dear friend. You and I have had a great invitation. Look with me over in Matthew, if you will, this morning. Matthew, chapter number 11. Matthew, chapter number 11, verse number 28. So all those burdens you're carrying around, dear friend, you've got a great invitation from the Lord Himself. He says, Matthew chapter 28, chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He says, and here's the invitation. Come unto me, all the pastors that pastor churches. I cleaned my glass there. Misread that. Come unto me, all of you fathers who have more than seven children. Well, the other side ain't clean. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Every one of us has been given a great invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. That includes everyone here. Whether you're a mom, a dad, a father, a sister, a brother, an aunt, an uncle, a co-worker, a friend, a child. Whatever burdens you carry. You're talking about a great invitation, dear friend, where our Lord and Savior, the one who said this, God the Father said this in Matthew. He said, all power is given unto you in heaven and in earth. And Jesus said, Brother Robert, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, into the ages. I'm with you. And he says this, come unto me, all ye that labor, heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. What an invitation. The psalmist said, cast thy burdens upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He'll never suffer the righteous to be moved. So we're all familiar with burdens, so what we're going to do? What can we do with these burdens? I'm going to tell you, dear friend, we need to accept the invitation. Just like when the judge had dismissed everybody and he said, listen, you can go, you can come, you can stay, but I would like for you to stay so I can spend some time talking with you personally. I had to accept the invitation. I was tired. I was tired of hearing evidence. I was tired of seeing people. I was tired of sitting on those hard benches. I was tired. I had to get back at church, but we were fixing to meet church Wednesday night. I said, I'm going to accept this invitation. I'm going to accept this. You've got to accept this invitation. When the Lord says, come unto me. Come unto it. Stop trying to carry your broken burdens in your heart and come to the God that longs to give you rest and to give you strength and to sustain you and to help you. You've got to accept the invitation. Oh, but our God is so far. Oh, no different. Our God is near. accept the invitation. That's what we got to do. We got to learn that we got to come unto Him. In the Word of God, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible says this, casting all thy care upon Him, for He careth for you. Just like He said, here, come unto me all, you're included in that. Under this one, we all can agree that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, when all includes you there, that you're a sinner, we can include all of us have access. All of us have this invitation. He says, I care for you as an individual, as a single person. You know what He said to us in the Gospels? He said, listen, not a hair falls from your head that I know not where it went. Hey, you know what He said? The sparrows are cared for. Shall I not care for you? The God I'm talking about, the Bible says about the God I'm talking about, the God of the Bible, the God of Langstock, not the God of just Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Praise God He was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's God. I'm so thankful for that. But I'm going to be thankful for the fact that I know that He is my God. And that God, the God that I'm talking about, the God of the universe, the sovereign God of the universe, who has named the stars and called them each name by name. He doesn't say, hey, He's not like me with my children. Josh, Benji, Clay, and I'm talking about Bentley. He don't get me confused. Listen, my God don't forget my name. And He says this, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. So the invitation has been given. The Word has been spoken. The Bible has said, the Bible, it says this about the Word of God. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. In Matthew, when He spoke these words, come unto me. It's settled, dear friend. Accept the invitation and come and cast your burdens upon the Lord and rest upon Him. And listen, Matthew Henry said this, to do so is to depend upon His providence and His promises. All the promises of the Lord are yea and amen. And settle. We can find rest in our Lord there. We just have to make the choice to choose to come to the one that we can cast our burdens upon, that He might carry them for us. What else can we do? What will God do with our burden? Well, He said there, He said, I will sustain thee. I also saw one definition in the definition in the dictionary about that sustain meant in a certain area and certain uses that you will not be overcome. You will not be overcome. Not only will I hold you up, you'll not be overcome. So we have a God that's there. So what we're going to do is, and this is proved throughout the Word of God, that He carries our burden. Well, here. Here's an example. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Remember I said we can all agree on what the Bible says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can all agree upon that because God said it. Every one of us know that we're sinners before a holy and righteous God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look with me in verse number 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 21. We're talking about carrying our burdens, laying our burdens upon Him, for He careth for us. He will sustain us. 2 Corinthians 5, 21 says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Dear friend, He carried our sin burden. You know the Bible says to us in Romans chapter 6, verse 3, for the wages of sin is death. And because Christ carried our sin burden, our sin debt, and was nailed to the cross of Calvary, and was buried, and on the third day rose again, and we put faith and trust in Him. But the gift of God, His eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, is the finishing part of Romans 6:23. He carried our sin debt, and He paid our sin debt, and He's made us the righteousness of God in Him. There's proof that He'll carry your burden. I don't know of a greater burden that somebody can carry than that of sin. Because sin, the wages of sin is death. And sin will separate you from God. And if you know not Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, which is the atonement of God for our sin, dear friend, you will spend eternity in hell and completely, forever, in everlasting fire, and separated from God in torments. I don't know a greater burden than our sin debt. Isn't it amazing? He took the greatest burden of all, first of all. What's the greatest burden? Our spiritual burden. Our spiritual burden. You know the Bible says in Isaiah, look over in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Look at verse number 4. So he dealt with our first and foremost greatest burden. That's the burden of sin. And then throughout life, he wanted us to know that he would carry the rest of our burdens. Look in verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But let me challenge you with something. If you could trust the God of heaven to save your soul and make you part of his family, He'll carry your griefs. He'll carry your burdens. You know the Bible says in John 11:35? Who can help you there? Two little words. Jesus wept. Why did he weep? Anybody can help you there? You think he wept because he stumped his toe? There was a certain situation that took place there. Somebody close to him had something happen to him. Lazarus had died, right? Mary and Martha was sorrowful, right? Mary and Martha, death brings grief, does it, Brother Ray? There was grief, there was sorrow, there was pain, there was hurt. And the Bible says that Jesus wept. Dear friend, if you can trust the Lord of heaven, who has enough compassion whenever one of his friends, it says the friends of Jesus, Lazarus had died. Listen, he was God, and he knew in just a few short minutes he was going to say, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus is going to wake up out of the dead and come forth. And yet he's paused enough to weep with Mary and Martha. You know the Bible says this? Those that weep, we're to do what with it? Weep with them, right? Those that cry, those that mourn, those that hurt, we're to weep and mourn and cry for them. Grief and sorrow. Listen, God wants you to understand, dear friend, when He says, come unto me, He gives you this invitation, dear friend, He will carry the griefs, the hurts, and the pains that you face day by day. He will sustain you. He will keep you from being overwhelmed or overcome. He'll do just like with Peter. When Peter was sinking there right before him, he'll reach down into that depths of the troubles and the tumultus of life, and he'll take your hand and he'll lift you back up. He'll set you on your solid rock. God takes our burdens and our blessings very serious. But he cannot bless us the way we need to be blessed and should be blessed while we're walking around carrying our burdens. Because our minds are not on Him. Our minds are upon the burdens and the cares of life. Cast your burdens upon Him because He cares for you. Look with me in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter number 5. Look what it says here in verse number 6. What can you do with your burden? Cast them burdens upon the Lord, for He careth for you. What will God do with your burdens? God will carry your burdens for you. Romans 5, 6, the Bible says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. When you're without strength, He is sustained. You know what the Bible says? It's not the will of God that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. The Bible says, for the grace of God has appeared to all men. He will sustain you. He will carry you. He will help you. Listen, God takes our burdens and He gives us those blessings in return. You know, sometimes though, the greatest thing of all that I notice is that I don't have to have, I have to stop and pause. Because sometimes when I cast my burden, I'm expecting something else in return. I'm expecting something else to come and take place. Sometimes, dear friend, I'm going to be honest with you, sometimes just knowing I'm not walking around with the burden at all is the greatest blessing that I could ever want or need. We've got to get to the point where, well, I'll give you this burden, God, but you're going to have to give me this blessing over here. The greatest thing of all, dear friend, is that you're not walking around carrying that burden. Now that you're not carrying that burden, that weight, or the troubles on your heart, Jesus can have His proper place on the throne of our heart. He can have precedence in our life. And there is no greater blessing than having Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, ruling your life. No greater blessing. Here is certain security, dear friends. Jesus loves you. Certain security. Your mom and dad might not love you. Your children might get to the point where they feel like they don't love you. Your aunt and uncles, your brothers and sisters in Christ, your friends and co-workers at work may get to a point where they say they don't love you. But I'm here to tell you there's certain security in the fact that God loves you. God loves you. Matthew Henry said this, He who bore the burdens of our sorrows desires to leave to Him the burden of our care. If He's willing to take care of your burden and carry your burden, dear friend, and help you out from underneath the cares of this world, how much more would He care for your soul? Think about it just for a moment. Jesus headed up to Golgotha. As He headed up to Golgotha, the Bible records that he fell underneath the weight of the cross. Because the Roman soldiers wanted to hurry up and get things over with and get Him on up to the cross, they probably had something they wanted to do. Maybe wanted to go sell the raiments that they had won in casting of lots and wanted to get a little extra paycheck. They'd go down to the local store and spend the money. I don't know what they want to do. They want to hurry up and get this done with. It was a nasty job. It was a dreadful job. It was bringing death to mankind, and He fell underneath the weight. They hurried up. They got Simon of Nigeria to take the cross and get him on up there. They got him up there on the cross, an innocent man, none that no one had found faulty, none up to this point could lay sin or lay crime or lay, maliciousness or maleficiousness to the Lord, because he was without sin. But there was two that went with him. Two that deserved the cross, the Roman cross. Two thieves that had ravaged and tore apart and raked through people's homes and stolen the things that belonged to them rightfully, and they got caught, and now they're paying their rightful due. One of the thieves, in the midst of all that, turned to the Lord today, "Please, Lord, remember me when thou art in the paradise." And he said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." What happened there? The thief, which was carrying the burden of his own sin, turned to the burden carrier, the one that bore his sin, and said, "Here, remember me." He traded his burden, and he received a blessing. You say, "Well, perhaps he was still upon that cross." That's the natural consequence of sin. But in paradise, he saw his Lord face to face. The thief traded in the midst of his... You say, "Well, listen, I'd like to trade it." You're not hanging on the cross, dear friend, today. What's stopping you from trading? You said, "But if I was on that cross, nothing would stop me." It stopped the other thief, didn't it? It did. Listen, dear friend, those who rest full of faith in the immovable one will not be moved. He said, "I will suffer them not to be moved." He said, "I'll suffer the righteous." Let's go back and read that real quick. I'm going to quit here just shortly, but I think we need to see this. Back over to Psalms 55. Let's read our text again. 55, verse number 22. You know what it says here? Psalms 55, 22 in our text. It says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer." He won't allow, he won't permit, never suffer the righteous to be moved. That's pretty good reading there. But I got troubles. I got heartaches. I got difficulties. I've wavered to and fro. It's because you're standing in your righteousness. There's a great difference. Go back over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. All of our righteousness are as filthy rags. All of our righteousness are unstable. All of our righteousness is dictated by our own minds, our hearts, and not by the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21 again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 21, the Bible says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that he might be made the righteousness of God in him." I will not suffer the righteous to be moved. Here's the difference, dear friend. Are you in him and his righteousness in you? Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But when a double-minded man, a man that one day he's leaning upon the righteousness of God, the next day he's leaning upon the righteousness of culture, the next day he's leaning upon the righteousness of God, the next day he's leaning upon the righteousness of his co-workers and his friends and society and those around him. And he's a double-minded man, and he's always unstable. But when you stand upon the righteousness of God, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, you shall not be moved. Because your anchor of hope is the Lord. And not you and yourself and your circumstances and your abilities and your strengths and your righteousness. Because all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. I tell you, dear friend, there's good news for us who are believers in Christ, that are born again and on our way to heaven, that we don't have to carry our burdens. What you going to do with them, Pastor? I'm going to run my burdens as fast as I can, and I'm going to give them to the Lord. Well, what's the Lord going to do with them? That's His business. Not my business to decide what He does with them. Not my business to determine, Lord, how are you going to do this? When are you going to do this? It's the Lord's business to determine all that. And then what am I going to do? As I give my burdens to the Lord and I allow Him to take those burdens, I'm going to understand the greatest blessing of all is that I have a Savior that cares for me to at least take the burden off of my shoulder. And I'm not going to live selfish. I'm not going to be in a bargain with God. I'm not in, this isn't a trade and swap, a swap meet with God. God, I'm going to give you this burden, but you give me this car. God, you take this burden, you give me a pay raise. God, you take this burden. We're going to get to the point, you're going to have to get to the point and say, Lord, here's the burden. And that is enough. Whatever happens after that is your business. Yeah, but preacher, I was listening down the radio, and this pastor told me if I just had enough faith, he was preaching, if I had enough faith, I could just claim a car. Yeah, going down to Greenway with that preacher and tell him to get his checkbook and write a check and hand it to Greenway, and when it clears the blank, claim your car. Other words, when you go up there claiming your car, they're liable to call somebody with a jacket that's white and put you in a padded room. Because that ain't Bible. Well, how do you know that? Because Jesus even borrowed a donkey that hadn't been broken. What are you talking about, preacher? It's in the Bible. Colt that had never been broke. He took meat off the king's table and with ravens and fed it to Elijah. You think for a moment God couldn't have said, listen, go on up there to Pilate's house and tell the worker there at the gate that I need that big old white stallion over there. No, because the white stallion's coming in the future. Now it was the lamb. Then with the lamb, he's coming as the king. He's coming. What's he doing? Lord, it's your business. Why is it His business? Because He's God. If you could handle it, you could care for it yourself, why would you need God? You'd be a God of yourself. In the mess and fix you're in because of yourself anyway. Oh, Pastor, it's my mom and dad's fault. It's my job's fault. It's my boss's fault. It's because I'm in Orange County, Florida. No. Every man lives himself, every man dies himself. Do we suffer consequences from society? Sure, but we're not alone. Jeremiah, great man of God, preached, great prophet. You know what he got to eat on for a while? Bread, water, and affliction. Not because he was bad. Daniel, great man, prayed three times a day, loved the Lord. You know what he had to do? Sleep with a lion. Sometimes you go through some hardships. Sometimes you do. But with the burdens you have, cast them on the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed for I ramble on till VBS. I thought about just preaching till 5:30. Brother Ray, they'd never go home. We'd just start VBS. Because some of them are figuring out a way not to have to come back here at 5:30 already. Brother Jim, what page?
341.
Listen, church, if you're carrying a burden, I ask you to come carry it to the Lord. Dear friend, if you're standing in your sin, you're trusting yourself, I'd ask you to come deal with the Lord. He died on the cross of Calvary, you might have eternal life. Let us take the Bible and show you how you can be saved, born again, part of the family of God.